As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the streets. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Wednesday, September the 28th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live as we do right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, Monday through Friday, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name still is William Roberts. Always news, hard to say good news, but we try to find some. Hard facts, certainly that. Workable solutions, yeah, that too. You know my solutions. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. Lots of people are doing that this morning. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark BecomeVocalLocal.com. Engage in our chat room discussion. That's about all you're going to find on my website. BecomeVocalLocal.com and jump in our chat room this morning. Join the other chatters. Or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join us live on air from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net, bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, invited or listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Big shout-out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 16, and TalkStreamLive.com, all carrying the broadcast this morning, I believe. And I thank them all for doing so. Our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. All that contact information can be found at BecomeVocalLocal.com and the OracleBroadcasting.com homepage. Precious metals tighten up their spreads. October madness looms ahead. There's a little poetry for you. Anyway, eyewash and lip gloss. The Federal Reserve trying to preserve their goodwill. We'll talk about that in a bit. Central banking, banking history, property rights, rights to property, currency, theory of money. Yeah, it's all on the browser for this morning. And of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into that market report for this morning. This is, yeah, tonight at sundown, Rosh Hashanah begins. I guess all of our bought and paid for Congress whores are taking another Jewish holiday. Anyway, Wednesday, September the 28th, 2011, active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Found gold trading up $5 at $1,654.70 an ounce. Silver off 41 cents at $31.47. Trying to sound excited here, all pumped up, right? Platinum up $4 at $1,557. And palladium off $2 at $644. You know, at $1,654.70, your gold is off $269 from the September the 6th futures all-time record high of $1,923.70. And some of the pundits are saying, you think September was rocky? The road's going to get much worse in October. Well, we'll have to see about that. Anyway, the lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, another widespread shaping up here, $40. We're going to see $40, $50, $100 swings. Count on it. It's going to happen. The higher we go, the greater the swings will be. But the lows and the highs this morning, $1,633.30 for a low, $1,670.30 for a high. But take heart, little flock, your gold is still up. $345.20 year to year for a 26.37% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London set the price at $1,655. And we've been trading right about there for a while. We'll be right back.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, September the 28th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Fridays. We do right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Let's go back into our market report one more time in review. We found gold trading at 9 o'clock a.m. Actually, this is all 9:08 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Had a little temporary glitch there, was distracted and got back to the computer 8 minutes late. Anyway, after trading as of 9:08 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, just to be honest and upfront with you, found gold trading up $5 at $1,654.70 an ounce, off $269 from the $1,923.70 all-time record high in the futures market, just on the 6th of September. Anyway, now silver this morning off 41 cents at $31.47. What happened to our $50 silver anyway? Platinum, taking it upside the head. There goes my platinum. Anyway, up $4 at $1,557, continuing this inverse relationship with gold that has developed recently. Palladium off $2 at $644. Altogether, the metals are just holding their own this morning. Nothing really fancy to report. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $1,633.30 for a low, $1,670.30 for a high. You can't really complain about that, however. Anyway, continuing along here, the SPDR gold shares overnight unchanged. Nobody seems to be buying over there at the SPDR gold shares. You know, it's State Street Global Advisors, Barclays Capital, PLC, the World Gold Council, the Rothschilds trading platform. valued this morning at $66 billion, however, big hands, deep pockets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed up 147, 11,191. The NASDAQ closed up 30 at 2547. And the S&P 500, not to be outdone, closed up 12 at 1,175. Crude oil this morning off a buck and a penny, and that's good news for all of us that motate around by automobile. The crude oil at $83.44 a barrel for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. I'd like to see that turned around, wouldn't you? 38, 44. That would be nice, wouldn't it? 38, 44 for crude oil. Then we could all tootle around again. Anyway, the U.S. dollar index this morning off 13 basis points at 77.64. And the necessary impact on the foreign exchange rates, where we find this morning in our North American Security and Prosperity Partnership trade-weighted basket of currencies. The Canadian loonie off 32 basis points, still considerably below parity with the U.S. dollar at 97 cents. The Mexican peso grinding hard and rounding up off 4 basis points and yet clears 8 cents again. So we're back in 8 cents territory for the Mexican peso. The euro this morning up 21 basis points at $1.36 against the U.S. dollar. The British pound at $1.57 up 20 basis points. And the Swiss franc up 1 basis point. Oh, one too very little at $1.12. The bond market this morning got a little lesson in bond trading yesterday. Appreciate that. The yield on the 2-year treasury at 0.24%. I guess that's supposed to be great. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't loan you $20 at 0.24% return on investment, even if it was a 1-year bond. 10-year at 2%, your benchmark yield. 30-year grim as well at 3.08. So I guess if you're holding U.S. treasuries that are higher interest rates than that, you can sell them to an unsuspecting clown, and I guess you'd get into these lower ones hoping it would go even lower. I don't know. I'm still confused. It doesn't seem like a profitable place. I like the metals better. The mortgage market this morning, the 15-year fixed-rate mortgage, the national average, moves down from 3.45% to 3.36%. in this continuing enticement program trying to get people to become debtors to their houses, debtors to the mortgage bankers. Anyway, the 30-year moves down from 4.28 to 4.09%. Likewise, the gold-to-silver ratio this morning, rather grim. It'll take you 52.55 ounces of silver to bring home 1 ounce of gold. Let's look at that Econo Day calendar. Unfortunately for all of us, Benjamin Shalom is going to speak today, so gentlemen, cover your assets. But the mortgage bankers purchase apps are out, durable goods orders are out, the EIEIO petroleum status report will be out during the broadcast. Tomorrow, gross domestic product and the jobless claims will come out. And if that doesn't send the economy into a tailspin, I don't know what will, but then later in the afternoon, we're going to pick up, actually it's morning, corporate profits, Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index, and the pending home sales index. So tomorrow could be a very rocky day. Friday will close out the week in Rosh Hashanah on personal income and outlays, Chicago PMI, and the consumer sentiment. Let's go into the reports a little bit here and see what we can find. Consumer confidence from yesterday, we didn't get this one. Consumers say current economic conditions are deteriorating in what is a bad sign for the September employment report. Do we need to see any more? Deteriorating, bad sign, consumer confidence, none of them. The mortgage bankers purchase apps this morning, all these low mortgage rates, doing any good? Last week's fall in mortgage rates, they're right, which was tied to the Fed's policy shift to longer-term treasuries, sparked a rush into refinancing and may also have given a boost to home purchase applications. Of course, they don't tell us who was doing the refinancing. Could be J.P. Morgan, could be Countrywide, could be Bank of America, could be lots of people. But anyway, it sparked a rush into refinancing and may have also given a boost to home purchase applications, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Of course, if they were Pinocchio, they would have to contact Geppetto, send out the woodcutters to lop the cordwood off the end of their proboscis, but we won't talk about that publicly. The refinancing index jumped 11.2% in the September 23rd week, while the purchase index rose 2.1%. So As the mortgage rates go down and down, some people are able to go out and refinance their house so it doesn't get foreclosed out from under them. Durable goods orders, that's washing machines and things like that, carburetors, new refrigerators, all those four-star energy, talk to the smart grid appliances. Durable orders edge down in August. Guess nobody's buying the smart grid in the techno-totalitarian state that we live in. But after such a strong July, the pace is still healthy. New factory orders for durables in August nudged down 0.1%. That's almost nothing. Following a 4.1% surge in July, previously up 4.1% from the factory orders report, the August dip, sounds almost like a slur, slanderous, isn't it? The August dip came in a little lower than the analyst forecast. Excluding transportation, durables slipped 0.1% after rising 0.7% in July. So even though these are year-on-year numbers, it's pretty small. Anyway, within the important transportation component, motor vehicles, transportation, motor vehicles, watch those words. You might go up and visit with Eddie Craig over on the Rule of Law Radio and find out all about transportation and motor vehicles. Anyway, they fell 8.5%, so we can't get rid of those expensive cars. That's the bottom line. After a 10.2% jump in July, non-defense aircraft increased a monthly 23.5%. Of course, they're all going to be subject to higher taxes. If the usurper gets his way, we wouldn't want to have people being able to waste their money on airplane gas, as George Gordon would say. And defense aircraft advanced 22.5%. Well, that's to be understood. All those Congress wars going over to Israel, of course we're going to give them some chits so that they can buy our defense aircraft and then use them against the Palestinians and array them against the Iranians. That's the way it goes. We'll be right back.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic inner food, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans. The program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.swissgoldbythegram.com or click on our banner ad on the oraclebroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
Hey, America, it's your old friend W here. Do not tune into True Frequency Radio with Chris and Sherry every Saturday at 10 p.m. Central here on Oracle Broadcasting. Otherwise, the terrorists win.
And so back up to the websites we go. Occupy Wall Street. This is off their website, OccupyWallStreet.org. Cornel West, philosopher and activist, to speak at the Occupy Wall Street tonight. That would have been last night at 7. Cornel West, philosopher and activist, to speak at the Occupy Wall Street tonight, they say. This Occupy Wall Street is pleased to announce that noted philosopher and social justice advocate Cornel West. Social justice. That's what you got these days, social justice. We used to have equal justice, but due to the influence of the Marxians and the Socialista, we get social justice. And so this Socialist is going to come yesterday, last night, I guess, came and spoke at Liberty Square. At the intersection of Broadway and Liberty Street, he'll be speaking about the circumstances that ultimately led thousands of activists to occupy Wall Street, as well as the importance of people power. In addressing them, of course, the Occupy Wall Street website's got that upraised fist of the communisties. Of course, you know, we forget all about that. The resistance continues at Liberty Square with free pizzas. Well, they're still there. Lots of stuff going on the website. You might look at it if you're interested. OccupyWallStreet.org. Some videos and some other things there. I hear a sign on somebody's taped on somebody's back. I spent 10 days in Liberty Plaza and all I got was this lousy democracy. Well, unfortunately, democracy is code word for socialism. So the socialists are now blaming Woodrow Wilson for making the world safe for them and their democracy. But there's more. Here's another one. Heard this last night on Doug Owens' broadcast. Danimal called in from the West Coast up Seattle way. Unbelievable story. I'm just going to go right off the Google page here. Unbelievable story of violent confrontation between unions while a multinational sues the public to ignore its labor contract. Longshoremen and warehouse unions reach agreement. They end the strike, defending the indefensible whiz-bang. National Labor Relations Board investigates longshoremen union. Apparent wildlife longshoremen strike shut down ports of Seattle. So there's lots you can find out. Labor union damages Port of Longview after it hired contractors. Wildcat longshoremen strike in Seattle, Tacoma. Just some headlines off the research if you just type in Longview longshoremen strike. So there's a lot going on over there. Of course, there's a bigger story behind that story, but we'll just let it slide. Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao calls for energy conservation and emission cuts. Of course, if you're listening out of Dalian, the World Economic Forum, the WEF Dalian out of China, you would have heard this discussion from their own specialists, but they're talking now about calling for energy conservation. Here's the story by Bloomberg News. Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao, called on local governments to step up efforts to conserve energy and reduce emissions. So they're getting on board with Al Gore over there in China, saying the current situation is rather severe. Local authorities should implement policies in the government's work plan for the 5 years ending 2015. They have 5-year plans, 10-year plans, 20-year plans. That's the communist way. That's their model. They do a lot of planning. Of course, if you listen to those discussions, again, out of the World Economic Forum Dalian summer conference, you would have found that they're not too excited about their plans. They make a lot of plans, but they don't seem to be able to pull that off and carry through on their planning. And so now they're replanning their method of planning in planned central economy China. Continuing, China, the world's biggest energy consumer, is shutting outdated industrial plants and boosting investment in renewable energy as part of a campaign to create more sustainable economic growth and reduce pollution, so they're all on board with Agenda 21. The government missed its energy reduction target in the last five-year plan, even after closing at least 7,000 factories. Losing your jobs in China due to Al Gore and his man-made global warming? Well, we have to fully understand the urgency and extreme importance of energy conservation and emissions reduction. When was cited as saying, no, he was cited as saying when, how, or who? No, those are the other ministers. Anyway, quote, we have to make clear the responsibilities of every level of government and relevant businesses. So these are public-private partnerships. ICLEI comes to China. China should promote the cleaner use of coal and renewable energy. Of course, the Rothschild, Nathan Rothschild, wants to create this global coal bourse on the order of Barrick Gold. Anyway, China should promote the cleaner use of coal and renewable energy sources, including wind and solar and hydropower. He said the nation should develop efficiently nuclear power while ensuring safety. Pricing mechanisms for resources should be improved, and reforms to resource and environment taxes deepen. More taxes on energy. That's the way it's going to go as we go forward. More taxes on your energy use. All of your outtakes are going to be taxed heavily, and your inputs will be largely ignored. Well, the usurper's not going to be outdone. He's still hanging on to this one. Of course, this goes back to Jimmy Carter, for goodness sake. The usurper's 54.5 mile per gallon U.S. fuel economy rule delayed until November. Well, it's not until November. It's a lot longer out than that. Angela Grayling Keene and Alan Ownsman. Wow. Let's all just stop for a little bit of matzo on Rosh Hashanah. The Obama administration said it needs more time to issue a rule that would double fuel economy standards for cars and light trucks in the U.S. by 2025. I thought it was going to be by 1985, or was it going to be 1995, or by 2005, or 2015. Well, now it's 2025. They'll adjust it again soon, though, and bump it up to 2050. The proposed rule, due out by September the 30th, will take longer than planned to write. Not all those dang words, man. Spell checking, you know, all that grammar. And it won't be out until mid-November. Linda Tran, I don't know if that's a sexual expression there or not, a National Highway Traffic Safety Administration spokeswoman said today in an email, Linda Tran, tranny there, in the transportation business. Anyway, President Barack Obama, you can call him that, I don't, in July announced that he would raise the fleet-wide fuel economy average for passenger vehicles, known as fleet-wide. This is all commerce. Fleet-wide, this is transportation. For average passenger vehicles, what would that be, buses? Taxi cabs to 54.5 miles per gallon by 2025 as part of his plan to reduce dependence on foreign oil. He's clueless. His administration negotiated the proposal, which would take effect in 2017, with automakers including General Motors, owned by America, Ford Motors, well, they have already moved all their plants over to China, Toyota Motor Company, well, they're moving in. Our team, here's the quote, our team is working around the clock. Can you believe that? Give us a, to make sure the language in our proposal reflects the administration's goal of implementing. You know who the team is? This goes all the way back, you know, to the American Bankers Association. We go through this chain frequently for the new listeners. The American Bankers Association, they then created the American Bar Association. Then the American Bar Association created the International, or what is it? It's the Uniform Commission, or the Commission on Uniform Laws. Then they created all these legislative bill drafting agencies. They've got them in all the states. This is all for uniformitarianism. This is so that we can do end runs around our state and our national constitutions. Then they created the International Uniform Law Commission. What a mess. Our team is working around the clock to make sure the language in our proposal reflects the administration's goal of implementing an effective national program to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and improve fuel economy, Tran said. Of course, they don't talk about jurisdiction here. FedGov having little or no jurisdiction in the states other than their military highway system and some posts and ports and things like that. But they said that. Dan Becker, director of the Safe Climate Campaign. A Washington-based group that advocates for higher fuel economy standards said he was told by a White House official that there is nothing nefarious in pushing back the rule's release date. Let's just go ahead and push it out to 2150. It'll be a little bit easier target to reach.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network. Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the oraclebroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So don't expect to get 54.5 miles per gallon in your hopmobile anytime soon, folks. It's not likely to happen. They'll just keep rolling that one down the road. You have to go talk to the Rockefellers and BP, you know, and the Queen of England before they'll ever see any kind of an upward tick in the miles per gallon that you're going to get out of a gallon of gasoline or diesel. London Metals Exchange considers takeover bids. You know, a lot of discussion about, oh, my God, the LME is getting closed. Well, it's not quite what you're looking at. Anyway, Nicholas Larkin and Agnieszka Trzaskiewicz writes this one. She's got to be Polish, man. Anyway, I'm assuming that Agnieszka is female. And writing with Nicholas, he brought the latte, she brought the biscotti. The potential sale of the London Metal Exchange, home to the city's last open outcry trading. Open outcry. All right, we'll find out a little bit more about that in a moment. Means MetDist Limited, Goldman Sachs Group, Inc., MF Global. I'm not swearing. That's the name that they call themselves, MF Global. A UBS. UBS and MF Global. Wow. It's almost pornographic. And sucked in financial. It is pornographic now. Have the most at stake. All right, so you got Goldman Sachs and an MF Global, a UBS, and a sucked in financial. Wow. The companies and J.P. Morgan Chase and Company are the biggest shareholders of the 134-year-old bourse, according to a filing in the UK's Companies House a year ago. Of course, we're finding out about UK in our series on modern banking, commercial banking. We'll find out more about that in a bit. The exchange told members in a notice on September the 23rd that it had received several expressions of interest and would begin a process that may lead to an acceptable offer for the company being received. Metals prices more than tripled. Oh, we don't need to hear it. Well, let's go ahead. Metals prices more than tripled in the past decade as demand from emerging markets overwhelmed supplies from mines, attracting a surge of interest from investors. That's right. In the past decade. Jumped in all over that one when it was at the all-time record low. That's the time to buy. You know, most people in America buy when it's high and sell when it's low. Others buy when it's low and sell when it's high. How are you faring out this morning? It operates London's last open outcry transactions through a 6-meter wide, which is a 20-foot ring, in which traders shout out orders. It sounds kind of like Congress, doesn't it? Anyway, a 6-meter wide, 20-foot ring in which traders shout out orders. It doesn't say whether they put on boxing gloves or not. Here's a quote. My initial preference would be to remain as an independent exchange, but if the conditions are right, then we would have to consider what would be right for us as a company, said Michael Overlander, chief executive officer of Sucked-In. A sucked-in, a 20-foot ring, a sucked-in. Wouldn't want to see that one on the evening news. There are other exchanges which perform very well, but I don't think any of them come close to offering or being able to provide what the LME has. That's right. The exchange is owned by LME Holdings. That's why we read these articles, right? So we get all the details, the background, backstory, the insiders, and some of the numbers. There are 12.9 million ordinary shares, which confer ownership and traded at £4.925, British pound, $7.72 in July. According to data on the Bourse's website, you can go up to LME Holdings Limited, I guess, and check it all out. Haven't done that yet today. Neither of the shares, however, trade on exchange, on an exchange. Continuing, it says, spokesmen are spokeswomen for Goldman. Got a bunch of ladies on the line here this morning. Spokeswomen for Goldman, MF Global, UBS, and J.P. Morgan, however, declined to comment. Officials at the Met Dist didn't respond to 5 phone requests and an email seeking comments. I guess their mom's the word over there. Anyway, the bourse is valued at about 160 million pounds based on the last published price of its closely held shares. And it continues. Bidders may include the CME Group. Now, the CME Group, which brought all this grief here last week, changing the margin rates one more time, jacking them up as it does. Anyway, bidders may include the CME Group. So we got, you know, J.P. Morgan Chase, and we got the New York Stock Exchange teaming up with the Dutch Banks, Dutch Bourse AG, or whatever that is. Now we got the CME over here. Maybe going to team up with this Met Dist and come up with another, well, what can I say? It's amalgamation time. That's what's happening. This is the decades of mergers and acquisitions. Eventually, there will be just two big companies, and they'll own it all. There will be the East Company, and there will be the West Company. It's like East India. Anyway, bidders may include the CME Group, Inc., the world's largest futures market, Intercontinental Exchange, Inc. You know, they have the USDX. That's their little trade-weighted product there. Anyway, International Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., and Singapore Exchange Limited. KBW's Alexander wrote in a report, officials from all three exchanges declined to comment. The LME is being advised by U.S. investment bank Moelis and Company. And it goes on, talks a lot about trading floors. Trading floors were all already shut by the International Petroleum Exchange and London International Financial Futures and Options Exchange. ICE Futures U.S. ended floor trading of commodities, including cotton, in 2008 after 128 years. Here's the quote. It would certainly be a shame to see something that has been there for all of its history disappear It's that what, in fact, a prospective buyer would want to do. Suk Dens Overlander said, quote, there's no guarantees that a prospective buyer would want to destroy that level of flexibility. It's got open outcry. It's got electronic trading. It's got telephone trading. And any prospective would have probably to consider the value of preserving those conditions. So things are changing all around the world. We're moving into the 21st century, fully embracing the technotronic era. Let's continue along here. Borrowing costs fall for local governments. We hear about this a lot, you know, Meredith Whitney talking about the munis going under and so on and so forth, but they keep lowering the interest rates, and so borrowing costs need necessarily go down too. Michelle Caskell, or Cask, and Andrea Reiquiar. I never went to school with anybody with names like this. Where do you have to go? Manhattan or something? Anyway, there was no young people named Michelle Caskey and Andrea Reiquiar in our schools. And this was supposed to be the worst year ever for U.S. states and municipalities. Instead, they're obtaining money at the lowest interest rates in more than 2 years after predictions of rising defaults failed to materialize. Free money. That's right. Here's the article. Issuers led by Massachusetts, Mississippi, and the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey plan to sell about $67 billion of long-term tax-exempt debt from July through this month. Everybody's rushing out of the stock market into the treasuries and bonds and the munis. I guess that's what they're trying to tell us here. The first time since at least 2003 that third-quarter offerings will rise from the previous 3 months, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. The sales follow a drop in municipal bond defaults. This has got to be that Help America Grow thing or whatever. The sales follow a drop in municipal bond defaults to about $1.1 billion this year, a quarter of last year's total. A quarter of the bonds they issued last year defaulted. While, according to Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, local general obligation bonds have accounted for only 1% of the 2011 failures. Banking analyst Meredith Whitney predicted on the CBS 60 Minutes show in December that the next 12 months would see hundreds of billions of dollars of defaults. It's always defaults, right? While defaults have declined, state and local government revenue rose 6.9%. We talked a little about that yesterday, jacking up the property tax rates and jacking up the sales tax rates and getting taxes from any place that they can find it, putting new taxes on your electric bill, your water bill, your sewer bill, your garbage bill. But anyway, that's how they're making this new money. Continuing, it says the higher collections, along with the lowest long-term muni rates since January of 2009, are encouraging issuers to borrow for capital products or projects, said Justin Hugendoom. Oh, brother. I'm telling you, did you go to school with anybody like this? Justin Hugendoom. You would have been laughed out of the classroom. Managing director of the Strategic and Analytic Group at BMO Capital Markets in Chicago. See, this is the trouble with open borders and multiculturalism and all that. Where does a guy like Hugendoom come from? Hugendoom. Quote, they've had the benefit of improved revenue forecasts that allows them to start a few more capital projects and not have to cut quite as badly as what they originally thought, said Hugendoom. Wow, Hugendoom. A curious name. Anyway, let's move along here. This is a long one. This is a long one. Of course, Dudley's been listening to Oracle. They even stole one of our taglines. But Dudley's proving this is not your father's Federal Reserve Bank of New York. They've got to be listening to Oracle over there at Bloomberg. Carolyn Salas-Gage, writing this one for the Bloomberg Markets Magazine. And this is a long one. You might want to go up and take a look at this yourself. What this is, this goes back to Ivy Ledbetter Lee. This is, you know, basically the way that Bernays would style something. They're in damage control time right now. The Federal Reserve Bank is trying to preserve their goodwill. They're trying to save their image, just like Goldman Sachs. So they get these kind of articles written for them, and then they put them in the Bloomberg magazine. Share the article with you, at least in part, after this.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Now, with the Oracle Broadcasting Android application, you can take Oracle with you on the go. Download the app at OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, we're getting confirmation from the chat room, you know, and Wilter should know, but I guess Hoogendoom could be a Dutchman, could be an old Dutch name, very proud Dutch name, Hoogendooms. The Hoogendooms, they live up the street. Of course, everybody avoids their household like the plague, but here's another one. Again, this is a, this is really a gloss piece, this is a goodwill builder, this is a name saver, all right? From Dudley, as we have Operation Wall Street, or Occupy Wall Street, going on as we speak with all the Marxists out there in the street holding their fists up in the air. Anyway, with all of them out there and the drubbing that the Federal Reserve has been taking ever since Ron Paul's 2008 campaign really got off and we started talking about end the Fed. But this one, if you go back and look at, you know, Gustavus Myers, The History of Great American Fortunes, you find much similar stuff there. That's where we discovered Ivy Ledbetter Lee. He was good at this sort of writing. But anyway, you know, Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, they'd all hire Ivy Ledbetter Lee, and he would do, you know, op pieces that would change the public opinion. Of course, then they carried that through to academia, and we've gotten a gloss on all of American history the same way. Carolyn Solis Gage writing this one. It's a quiet September morning outside the headquarters of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York on Liberty Street in downtown Manhattan. Well, honey, you better go look out the window. It ain't a quiet September morning this morning. A 22-story building made of limestone and sandstone, as if that makes any difference, blocks, and decorated with wrought iron, takes us back to Florence and the Medici's. They're beautiful buildings over there. Embodies the secrecy with which the central banking system has operated since its founding in 1913. Now you could jump right into The Creature from Jekyll Island and get all the backstory from G. Edward Griffin on that sentence. But the ground floor with its vaulted ceilings and iron chandeliers, I would imagine they have iron bars on the walls. You should have seen some of the Medici places. I mean, the bottom of the first window sill was like 15 feet above the ground. You could never leap up to that. The ground floor with its vaulted ceilings and iron chandeliers houses an exhibit on the history of money. Of course, they ought to know. They got a corner on money. In a 10th floor conference room, you know, out of sight, out of mind, William C. Dudley, the president of the New York Fed, sits in a leather chair and explains how he's trying to change the image of the central bank as a closed club that caters to Wall Street at the expense of everyone else. Bloomberg Markets Magazine reports in its November issue. Okay, so Carolyn Salas Gage probably went up there on the 10th floor and William Dudley rolled it out for her. This is the propaganda for the day. This is a long article you'd probably gain by reading it. I read it this morning. Didn't get very much else put on the browser, but I did wade my way through this one. It's important, here's a quote, it's important for us to get out into the community, to get our message across, to explain why we do what we do. I wonder if Dudley's going to go out on the street this morning and explain to the thousands assembled there in Wall Street at Liberty Street what the hell they're doing. I doubt it. He'll probably, well, he arrives, he goes to and from work in a private car. That's important because to a lot of people, it's pretty mysterious what the Federal Reserve does. That's right, Dudley. That's right. Pretty damn mysterious to me how you create all that money out of nothing and then call it money. Dudley, who was chief U.S. economist at, oh my gosh, Goldman Sachs Group, Inc., from 1996 to 2005. What an inbred bunch. Treasonous, traitorous, treacherous hooers that they are. Anyway, I spent more time talking to people in his district than any of his nine predecessors. Of course, that goes all the way back to J.P. Morgan. You know, he was like the deacon at the Presbyterian. A very interesting church history there around the Morgans. You might check it out. Some rather interesting church buildings look almost like satanic worship places, but they're not, I guess. Anyway, all them presbyters and things. At these gatherings of local business people in places like the borough of Queens, New York, Dudley speaks about the Fed's unprecedented moves to revive the economy and often faces potential or pointed questions from the crowd. Often faces pointed questions. How many of these meetings has gone to? He's only talked about one year so far. Anyway, something very unfair. Continues, why did the Fed spend billions in tax dollars to bail out Wall Street during the credit crisis and not help small businesses get loans? Question mark. Why hasn't the Fed forced banks to modify mortgages? Question mark. Isn't the Fed causing food prices to spike? Question mark. These have to be the angry questions asked by the people that attended at Queens in New York. Back at the headquarters, Dudley says he understands why people are so angry. Oh, really? There is something very unfair. This is a quote. There is something very unfair about what happened. Close quote. At least he's got a brain. He says, quote, the fact that bankers and financiers invented all sorts of crazy products, introduced them in a way that wasn't well thought through, give me a break, and that caused a financial calamity, and then the financial system got rescued while the financial crisis caused them to lose their jobs, it's completely unfair. I agree. Treasonous, traitorous, treacherous whores. I think that a hemp rope necktie would be in order for some. Dudley, 58, is grappling with some of the biggest challenges that a New York Fed president has ever faced. Really. The New York Fed board appointed him in January of 2009 in the middle of the worst financial crisis in decades, after little Timmy Geithner took his basket of currencies to become the usurper's Treasury Secretary. Treasury Secretary, not the Secretary of the Treasury. That's different. He's the Treasury Secretary. He's not the Treasurer. That's different. Look it up. There's a Hispanic woman that's the Treasurer. We've had Hispanic women and men being treasurers for ever since Spain, I guess. Anyway, second to Bernanke, Dudley is developing regulations for some of the world's biggest financial firms, such as Goldman Sachs. Well, he's developing the regulations for the company that he came from? Wow, clever. And J.P. Morgan Chase & Company, aimed at preventing a repeat of the events that brought down Lehman Brothers Holding Inc. and the global economy. Sure. His position makes Dudley vice chairman of the policy-setting Federal Open Market Committee. That's the FOMC. We'll talk about that. We've talked about it in the past. Second only to the Federal Reserve Chairman Benjamin Shalom Bernanke in wielding power over monetary policy. Is that the truth? Does the schoolteacher Bernanke have any power? Does he actually wield power, or is he just the spokesman? I don't know. In that role, Dudley is trying to keep the economy out of a double-dip recession that could throw an additional hundreds of thousands of Americans out of work at a time of 9.1% unemployment. Well, that number's drastically low. We know that. Continues, there's no question this job is a major, major response. This is a quote from another individual. There's no question this job is a major, major, if you repeat words, it has more power. See, a major, major responsibility and really requires a diverse set of talents. Close quote, says Mark Gertler, a New York University economist, serves on a New York Fed Economic Advisory Committee. A New York Fed Economic Advisory Committee, so they're going inside their house to get commentator. Quote, the president of the New York Fed carries the added responsibility of having to monitor financial markets, and that requires an extraordinary depth of knowledge. It perhaps is second only to the chairman in terms of difficulty of the job and maybe on par. It's hard work. It's really hard work. That's what George Bush told us. It's hard work. And now, Jebby, in the background, that's right, the CMP and the other Christian patriot rights are talking about maybe Jeb Bush as a candidate for president. Oh, it's really hard work. It's hard work. It is. Pretty ugly treatment. Dudley also has had to navigate the steady stream of attacks on him and his institution from all sides of the political spectrum. Senator Bernie Sanders, an independent from Vermont, way to go, Bernie, got us into the heart of that Timberlake deal, didn't he? Accused the New York Fed of being too entangled with Wall Street to do its job properly. Sanders wrote a provision in the Dodd-Frank Financial Overhaul Act to have the Government Accountability Office investigate the matter last year. So the fox is going to guard the hen house one more time. The Academy Award-winning 2010 documentary, Inside Job. Funny. How did they choose that name? Inside Job. An award-winning, I think I might have watched this the other night. Academy Award, I didn't know it won Academy Awards, but I would imagine it would. The Academy Award-winning 2010 documentary, Inside Job, depicted Dudley as a stooge of Wall Street, partly because of his Goldman roots. And Republicans are castigating Fed officials for stoking inflation following their second so-called quantitative easing program, which bought $600 billion in U.S. treasuries to spur economic growth. The rest of it? Pretty interesting. We'll cover it a little bit more after this.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, Enter Health Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic inner food, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, September the 28th, 2011, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local, coming at you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Back into this lengthy article, you can find it up on the Bloomberg website this morning. Dudley, proving this is not your father's Federal Reserve. Yeah. I guess call this one damage control, all right? Anyway, here's another little bit more out of it. Texas governor, Republican presidential candidate, Rick Perry, wonder how much his campaign committee paid to get this plug stuck in. Anyway, he said in August that additional stimulus measures from the Bernanke would be almost treacherous or treasonous. Now, look, Perry, if you're going to listen to the broadcast and quote my stuff, get it all in there. It's treacherous, treasonous, traitorous, lures, right? Yeah, come on, get it up. Yeah. Anyway, quote, we would treat him pretty ugly down in Texas. Well, that's a hemp rope, anyway. Don't give Rick Perry much credence. Some days he's a Democrat, some days he's a Republican, all the time he's a Bilderberg, and mostly a globalist shill. Anyway, visiting Queens, I guess Dudley had a lunch date with Rudy Giuliani. Since October 2010, Dudley's mission to mend relations with the public and get an on-the-ground view of local conditions has taken him to 16 cities in his district. It includes New York State, parts of New Jersey, Connecticut, and all of Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. I'm sure those trips were really nice. Spent a little time in the Virgin Islands, you know, let's go down to the Bahamas someplace. Puerto Rico, Ricky! Anyway, on a dreary morning in March, he walked to the podium in a lower-level windowless conference room at the Sheraton LaGuardia East Hotel in Queens, dressed in a navy suit. Who cares what he's wearing? Does that have something to do with it? After Dudley's speech, the complaints about the Fed poured in, and I'm sure they did. Anyway, it just goes on. One man accused it of printing money and spurring inflation, even though the core rate, which excludes foreign commodities, was only 1% at a time. There's really nothing to worry about, Dudley responded. If we see the economy starting to overheat, we can raise the interest rate. We pay on excess reserves, and those reserves will stay with us rather than be lent out into the economy. That's right. The man in the audience fired back, when was the last time, sir, that you went food shopping? I was just in my supermarket the other day, and I bought paper towels and a couple of food items. I couldn't believe the price, he says. Us common folk, when we go shopping, you can see the inflation that has hit our economy. Well, New York Fed president says he does shop, often to satisfy his cravings for Diet Dr. Pepper and ice cream, and I guess that just about sums it up. He walks around day by day high on aspartame and high fructose corn syrup. No wonder. Anyway, Dudley and other Fed officials haven't been so forthcoming about the details of the bailouts, and it just continues. But it's very good. They ask for our trust. They want our trust. But they said it really the best up here. You know, what he's trying to do is he's trying to improve the public image. This is all about goodwill. It's about saving face. And Goldman Sachs is trying to do the same thing. Remember, read that article to you. Well, let's jump over to Basel. And Basel regulators are said to keep capital surplus surcharge plans for the big banks. This one by a Jim Brunsdon and a James Sterngold, writing collaborative. Sterngold? Oh, man. September the 27th, collaboratively for Bloomberg, global regulators may largely stick to planned capital surcharges. What does that mean, anyway? You know, we learn from studying accounting that capital is just another name for proprietorship. All right? Now, capital is a liability. It's not an asset. On the one side of the balance scale there, the equation, you've got assets. On the others, you've got liabilities plus proprietorship, and capital is just another name for proprietorship, so it's a liability, not positive. Anyway, we'll pick it up.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.SwissGoldByTheGram.com or click on our banner ad on the OracleBroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so once again, a little bit more going on here in this article. Basel regulators are said to keep capital surcharge plans for the big banks. You know, the Basel Committee on Banking Supervision discussed yesterday how to respond to criticisms from banks, including BNP Paribas. We'll find out about them. You know, that's Rothschilds. And Citigroup, probably the queen, that the measures are flawed and may stymie the financial system's recovery, according to people who spoke on condition of anonymity, because the talks are private. Yeah, they're private, all right. But this is kind of insane, isn't it? Basel Committee on Banking Supervision, and they're going in, they're getting advice from the bankers, and you're going to have a supervisory committee for your young people. You're going to ask the elder brother and the youngest daughter to get together and sit on that committee? Let's just go ahead and get the foxes in from the field and ask them what we should do with the hen house. Anyway, let's go over here and jump up to Minnesota and say good morning to 10K Puddles. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, Will. How are you doing?
Absolutely fantastic. Yourself, sir?
Oh, not bad. I picked up a book at a garage sale for a buck here, and just want to share a little bit about it because it kind of ties into what we're reading about.
Go for it.
All right. It's called The Making of the Modern Mind by John Herman Randall, Jr. It is fascinating to explore the mind of the present generation, to unravel the many threads that enter into its tangled fabric and trace them back to the first appearance in the loom of history. Far more fascinating even than a walk through Rome, but it is more. It is of the utmost importance for one who wishes to understand the life about him, to comprehend its intellectual forces, to discern the probable drift of the current, and perchance to take his place at the oar. Ideas are much more lasting than anything else in man's civilization, and those which find themselves in modern minds have roots going back into the immemorial past. It is through the mind that man attaches himself to his remote predecessors far more than through any physical persistence, even of racial stock. Especially is this true in America, which, despite its relatively new background, is as much a part of European civilization as Rome herself. To understand, appreciate, and judge the science, the religion, the art, the moral ideas of today, it is imperative to understand those great achievements in the past of mankind that have created the home in which man's spirits now move.
Absolutely right. You know, you think about that from the standpoint of ideas. You know, we go back and we look at John 1:1, you know, in the beginning was the word. We start with the ideas. You know, we begin from ideas. Plato, the same thing. Aristotle, the same thing. Always you begin with the ideas and then you build on that over the centuries as we carefully research our past. And then we find ourselves in the present, you know, moving into the future. Absolutely right. All of these things, these parts and pieces, add together to become the perception of public opinion and cross currents of public opinion that we hold today. So, yeah, that's a real true statement there.
Yep, and it continues. If men's minds are a mosaic or palimpsest of belief upon belief, it is of the highest importance that they understand the life history of those beliefs, why they are there, and whether they are justified in being there or should be discarded. What have been the great waves of thoughts and aspirations that have left these successive deposits? What did they mean when they were at the flood, and what a value of today have they left? What must men seek out anew for themselves in the never-ending task of rebuilding civilization? When one has reached an understanding of what materials are furnished by the world around him, about him, and what resources he can hope for him, for inside himself, it still remains for him to appraise the past as it is left to operate in the present, to understand it, to appropriate it, and to become its master.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd like to skip forward ahead and go into the sections called the Benevolent Industrialism. Amongst the French Romanticists and the English Tories, there grew up an ideal of a benevolent industrial feudalism, a society run by captains of industry for the benefit of the working classes. In France, this aim was upheld by the followers of Count de Saint-Simon. Looking at the horrible results of uncontrolled industrialism in England, the Saint-Simonians conceived the idea of combining business, enterprise, and religious idealism that the Industrial Revolution might prove a blessing rather than a curse. It seemed to them possible to organize a society under the leadership of industrial experts, creating material goods with a view to the best social conditions for all. Taught and guided by a body of scientists devoted to discovering new truth and popularizing the old, they discovered elaborate schemes for the proper functioning of the artist, the scientist, and the captain of industry in the new order. Under the religion of Jesus, religion should direct society toward the grand goal of the speediest amelioration possible of the lot of the poorest classes. Their slogan was reconstruction, organization, and everything for the worker, nothing by the worker. There is much that is fantastic in the theories of St. Simonians. Their combination of religious mysticism and shrewd business enterprise, their meetings in the back rooms of the Jewish bankers to found the new Christianity and build railroads, canals, their appeals to Louis XVIII, to the Pope, to the great financiers Lafayette and Baron Rothschild to lead the new Christianity of social service for the world or for the worker. But they managed to enlist many of the men who were destined to build up French industry, and it is interesting to speculate what they might have been the result if the Industrial Revolution in France had gone forward under the benevolent auspices. Later vagaries with regard to free love broke up the school, and the industrial feudalism that was introduced was not quite so benevolent as they had hoped.
Oh, that's amazing. This is just great. I mean, this is straight up positivism right out. Well, what's the title of this book again?
It's called The Making of the Modern Mind.
Yeah, The Making of the Modern Mind.
Randall.
Randall? When was it published? This guy is definitely wise to the positivists.
1940, but it was also republished in 2010, I think it is.
2010. Well, this is a great example, folks. You know, I've said many times on the broadcast, once we start to understand just what is positivism and who are the positivists and what were their long-term aspirations, what were their beginnings, the footsteps that they started, then we can start to understand this technocratic era that we live in today. Because it's exactly as they visioned, this is what has transpired. And I agree with the author that the vision of the captains of finance and industry ruling the world as the philosophical radicals projected for the greatest good of the greatest number has pretty much left us in a desperate situation where in reaching for all of this great good and all the social safety nets, we find ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper in an endless quagmire of debt and in a greater and greater amount of tyrannical and despotic control. So, let's all think about freedom in the future and get off this liberty kick and get away from the captains of finance and industry. Good stuff, Jason. I'm glad you brought that to our attention there.
Yep, it's Chuck Luckmore's stuff, but people have to go and find it for themselves and read.
Well, drop it in the chat room. We'll all look at it later. Thanks so much for calling.
Goodbye.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm.
Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Yeah, just a big thanks again to Jason for calling in. You can find his work in the chat room, folks. He does some of the best research anybody I know. He's got the fastest computer on the West and knows how to use all of the Boolean search codes. Just jump into the chat room. You can find his 10K Puddles postings on a regular basis. I can scarce get the words out of my mouth before he's got ebooks and Scribd and all kinds of stuff in the chat room ready for your use. And at the end of the broadcast, for some, he'll send out on an email list those links for you. And we hope to put a page up on the website, becomevocallocal.com webpage, that'll be able to give him a place to post all of this research that he does during the broadcast. And certainly appreciate his support of the broadcast as well. Now let's jump into our accounting principles. Set the news behind us for this morning. Accounting Principles 1945, the fourth edition by Noble. Where we find the bookkeeping cycle. Accounting has become very interesting to me because I'm studying it now. It's 770 page book here, published back in 1940. And as the book opened up, a lot of people never get more than one course in college. But this course, if this is a college course, this must have been a whole year-long course. I can't imagine them trying to cram all of this into a semester. But at the same time, unusually, this particular book, the young person that was taking this course and studying was listening, paying attention, writing things in the margins, giving us the benefit of the instructor's witty witticisms, etc. And so it's a real valuable addition to my library for a buck at a flea market, just as the book that 10K was sharing with us that revealed the early positivist mindset of the Saint-Simonians. But this, the bookkeeping cycle, helps us to understand a little bit about bookkeeping. Now, of course, we all hear about the Fed balance sheet. We read out right off of the FOMC meeting minutes and things like that a lot, and talk about the Fed balance sheet and money supply, and understanding the idea of audit the Fed. An audit of the Fed would be very revealing. No, it's not. What is the other thing called? I'll come back to it in a moment. But this gives us a little better understanding of the bookkeeping cycle. This chapter, they say, and the two preceding chapters are presented the sequence of bookkeeping procedures. Now, this is customary. Most of this stuff is customary, and they use the word. It's the custom. It's the tradition. It's customary. And so it's grown up over a long time. We found that in studying the Medici, that they came up with this idea of double-entry bookkeeping way back before the Renaissance, just as the Renaissance and before the Enlightenment, before the Reformation. It's been with us a long time, double-entry bookkeeping. But this chapter and the two preceding chapters have presented the sequence of bookkeeping procedure, beginning with transactions and concluding with the post-closing trial balance. This sequence of procedures is frequently referred to as the bookkeeping cycle or the accounting cycle. Of course, there's a difference between accounting, which has to deal with the individual, has to deal with property, and rights in property and accounting, which is a social thing, an economic thing. Did I say that right? I think so. It will be made more evident in the subsequent chapters, which deal with further descriptions of accounting techniques, and they get into all of the hoary details. These formalized procedures are almost universally, that's Catholic, right? Universally, we could say religiously followed in accounting practice. So we hear about, you know, generally accepted accounting techniques or practices, GAAP. It is advisable at this time to review the steps in the bookkeeping cycle. An appreciation of these steps is preliminary to an understanding of accounting principles. So in this global economy that we live in today, in the captains of finance and industry, following the St. Simonians, you know, positivist worldview that we live in, it's absolutely essential for us to get a basic understanding of accounting principles, in my opinion. For convenience, these steps are presented in 8 parts as follows. And I'm not going to belabor them. I'm just going to give them to you. And if you want to copy them down, you can go back to the archives, which are available for you free, stashed away for you at the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage, and find this for yourself. But here's these 8 steps. All right? Journalizing. What is journalizing? It's recording transactions in the journal. Each of these are defined in this book at great length. Posting. It's transferring the entries in the journal to the ledger. And every word here is important because all of these things are different documents in the papers trail of the accounting or cycle, the bookkeeping cycle. So posting. Taking a trial balance, summarizing the ledger accounts. Now, some of you might be out there, you're entrepreneurs, you're businessmen, or you're thinking about starting your own business, like our listener up in New York. You think about starting your own business. I highly recommend learning something about accounting before you get your money out there in the wind. Determining the necessary adjustments, calculating accounting information not recorded currently, preparing the worksheet, classifying information on columnar paper, preparing the accounting statements, preparing the income statement and the balance sheet from the worksheet, adjusting and closing the books, recording the adjusting and closing entries in the journal and posting them to the ledger, closing, ruling, and balancing the accounts, and 8, taking a post-closing trial balance, proving the accuracy of the closing of the books. The items listed above constitute a cycle of accounting activities that are normally repeated each fiscal period, and sometimes that could be just a month. The first 6 steps may be repeated without the last 2 steps if it is desired to have interim statements without closing the books. And then it continues. I'll spare you the details. The purpose of that is to just give you an idea that it's more than just and the Fed. And the idea of auditing the Fed is not a bad idea, because just looking at the, what do they call it? The comprehensive, that's it, comprehensive annual financial report. Well, no, that's not auditing the Fed. Comprehensive annual financial report is made to, made as intended. It gives you a picture that is the picture that was intended for you to see. But if you go in, and I think Ron Paul understands this very well, if you go in and you get into all the nuts and bolts, you'd almost have to send them all, you know, just take all the Fed people and put them out on the sidewalk so that the people in New York go ahead and eat them for breakfast. That's what they really want to do this morning, especially. But just put them out on the sidewalk, you know, lock them out, and then go in and go through everything. Of course, the SEC is busy right now shredding all the documents, and they're probably doing that daily over at the Fed. But if we could just get into the building somehow or another and get our hands on all that material, then maybe, just maybe, we could go through and audit them and look at all of the accounts and all of the ledgers and all of the journals and all the trial balances and all the closing things. Maybe then, some of these mysteries that Dudley was talking about would be revealed to the daylight. Anyway, just a little bit more about money and things money. Quantity theory of money. I bet you never knew that there was such a thing. Quantity theory of money. A theory concerning the relationship between the amount or the supply of money and the purchasing power or value of one unit of money. What is a unit of money? Well, this will tell us what a unit of money is. This is out of the Encyclopedia Britannica, 1955, I believe. Let me just check here. and verify. When was the publication date of this set of encyclopedias? I think it's 55. It's, no, it's 1965. 1965. Ah, when men were still men and women were still women. Money was still money. A theory, again, it's a theory. It's all based on theory. You know, it's like Keynesian school of economics based on theory. A theory that you could actually spend your way to prosperity. Well, we proved that one wrong. A theory concerning the relationship, again, between the amount or supply of money and the purchasing power or value of one unit of money. You know, the more money there is in circulation, of course, you've got more dollars chasing fewer goods and so on and so forth, and the value is supposed to go up and down. Since the value of one unit of money varies inversely with prices of things for which it is exchanged, the quantity theory has to do with the relationship between the amount of money and the average price or price level or things other than money. But, of course, money is a commodity. So is credit. We'll get back to that right after this.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic inner food, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So, of course, it's impossible, really, in a venue like this, you know, talk radio, to be able to go into this and do it any service at all. So I just kind of have to gloss over it a bit because it gets off into a bunch of formula and things like that, that unless you've got a chalkboard behind you, you can watch the video, you kind of lose it pretty strongly and rapidly. But it talks about a couple of equations. And again, you know, you can look at Benjamin Shalom and the boys, you know, and Dudley and the rest of them. They all talk about, well, you know, hey, now we'll just increase the interest rates and people will, you know, won't be able to take out as many loans and that'll be good. What they can do at the Fed, their toolbox is pretty limited. As we said, they've been firing blanks for a long time out of the little nine Mickey Mouse. But anyway, their toolbox is a little bit deficient. You know, it's like you're on the farm. You know, you've got a five-pound hammer for things that are really cantankerous. You've got a long screwdriver and doubles as a pry bar. And then you've got the rusty slip joint pliers. Other than that, you know, in your tractor, you don't have much more than that. Anyway, usually it'll do the job, one of the three, and that's what they've got at the Fed, too. They can increase or decrease the money supply, or they can raise or lower the interest rates, and they can buy or sell more of their treasury bonds and increase and decrease the reserves requirement at all of their harlot daughter banks, anyway. And that's what they've got. But the quantity theory of money is typically deduced from one form or another of a quantity equation. It's either MV equals PT or N over K equals P. You know, you just let that go. But M&M in these equations are the supply of money, commonly defined as the sum expressed in a nation's monetary unit of coin and paper currency and bank deposits subject to check. Those are the demand deposits subject to check. And then coin and paper currency, of course, this is 1965. Silver dollars were still out there. And quarters and dimes, too. Anyway, well, we know the difference between this funny money, you know, stuff that they have out there today and these days, where you could actually get involved in payment. You can't do that anymore. Now we just discharge everything. Continuing P, in both equations is an average or an index of prices for the marketable goods and services that are measured by T and K. All right? Current usage is included in T and K, only the goods and services. Notice goods and services, and we don't make goods anymore in America. But we have lots of services. Everybody's taking in each other's laundry and cutting each other's hair and doing that sort of thing, trying to keep our economy afloat. That comprise what? The national product. That'd be the GDP, or the national income, omitting the stock of existing wealth and all securities. PT and PK, then, are the aggregate market values of goods and services currently produced and exchangeable for money. Money. Jumping way ahead, in the 19th century, the quantity theory contributed to the gains of free trade doctrine over protectionism. Of course, Ron Paul's a protectionist, so am I. But free trade doctrine, see, the quantity theory of money contributed to the gains of the free trade doctrine. If the intermediate effect of import duties is to create an export surplus of goods and services, the ultimate effect is that the export surplus stimulates imports of gold. An expansion of the supply of money and a rise in domestic price levels that nullifies the trade restriction, the duties are eventually self-defeating. And so as long as gold existed out there, and silver, as long as gold existed out there, why we couldn't move fully into and embrace free trade doctrines over protectionism. So they got rid of all the gold. They solved that problem, didn't they? Well, not really. But anyway, drop down a little bit. The inflation of prices as the money supply expands is probable when money users are expecting prices to rise. And so Benjamin Shalom got us all tuned up almost a year ago and wanted to get the American consumer ready for inflation. And so then they started raising the prices, and it all worked that way. Anyway, the inflation of prices as the money supply expands, and boy, did it, is probable when money users are expecting prices to rise. Then reluctant to hold money as it depreciates, the public spends money and balances more rapidly increasing V. Well, that's what George Bush wanted us to do. Get out there and spend. Inflation is probable, too. When the nation's capacity to produce goods and services is in its intensive use, then a rise in money and in money spending meets on the markets an inelastic supply of goods and services represented by T in the formula. When either of these circumstances or both prevail in extreme degree, an especially violent inflation may surpass the prediction of the quantity theory and reduce even towards zero rather than leave constant the purchasing power of the total money supply. So we're coming into that violent stuff now as we watch gold and silver gyrating around like a drunken sailor on shore leave at liberty. going to paper currency a little bit more. This is out of the 1951 edition of the Encyclopedia Americana, the article Currency. Paper currency is distinguished by the element of credit, which is its dominant characteristic. Paper money, credit, credit. Of course, you're the debtor there, aren't you? Neither a borrower nor lender be. No, that's not Bible or Benjamin Franklin, that's Shakespeare. It may be, that's out of Hamlet, by the way. It may be defined as a record of an obligation to pay made in a form suitable for monetary purposes. So they're basically just notes loaned into existence. It may be the obligation of a government, in the case of treasury bonds, or of a bank, or of some other kind of a private corporation, or even of a private person. The obligation is always expressed in terms of the standard value of the nation in which it is issued. So they use the expression of standard value. That would be the S. Of course, we got that S with a line through it from Mexico, but it used to have two lines through it. Remember when the dollar sign had two lines? Well, they cut us in half when they cut away the gold. And instead of having the two temples of, you know, the two pillars of Solomon there, they cut it in half, and we're down to one now. So it's now easier. And the EU, however, the euro, however, has two lines through their E, right? Yeah, they do. They'll get rid of that other line pretty soon, and they'll have nothing left to stand on. They'll just teeter-totter around, no stability. If the former, the notes recording the promise are usually issued in denominations suitable for use as hand-to-hand money and are made payable to bearer on demand. Payable to the bearer on demand, this currency. Hand-to-hand money. We found out a little bit about that back when we were studying England. For large payments, it's more convenient and economical than coin, and for payments, they're talking now about using checks. For large payments, it is more convenient and more economical than coin, and for payments between people located in different places, and for the use of travelers, and for nearly all payments by mail or express, it is safer as well as more convenient and economical. Checks. Demand notes. The most widely used kind of paper money are circulated through the agency of governments and banks. It's always governments and banks. And as we stated yesterday, banks are not an evil in and of themselves. Banks have nothing to offer unless they can get governments and corporations and businesses and the people involved in using whatever it is they have to offer. If nobody gets involved in what it is they have to offer, they have nothing to offer, and it'll just disappear, shrivel up on the vine. Government currency, as the former kind may be called, consists of notes issued by governments in denominations suitable for monetary purposes, payable to the bearer on demand, and usually, though not always, non-interest bearing. They may be convertible or inconvertible, that is, redeemable in coin on demand or not so redeemable. In the latter case, and remember, in 1951, they most certainly were redeemable in silver in this country. In the latter case, the obligation of the government to redeem them is unquestioned, since it is usually expressly stated that in the form of a promise, but the time of redemption is left for future determination. So today you go in and you want to get, you know, I want to get a little bit of something for my dollar. You hand them the dollar and you say, hey, I would like to exchange this. And they give you another dollar back. That the problem is redemption is left for sometime in the future. And yet it never gets redeemed. You can't make any payments in this world any longer. Now all we can do is discharge debts to an undetermined time in the future. The form of the two kinds of notes may be identical. In other words, promissory notes or checks or dollars, Federal Reserve notes, they all look like they have all the elements of basically just a promissory note. But again, the form of the two kinds of notes may be identical, in which case the only difference between them is that in the one case, the government actually redeems its promises to pay on demand, and in the other, it does not. And so on. We no longer do. We stopped redeeming. We no longer have that option available to us. But let's proceed. Been looking at the Bank of England, so let's follow in some more of that, because we're now into modern banking. Talking yesterday about the Bank of England, which the second half of the 18th century, this is out of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, an article entitled Commercial Banking, published back in 1930. Just kind of hanging out, you know, checking some of the secondary sources, expanding our understanding of what the hell's going on. The Bank of England, which since the second half of the 18th century had begun to acquire functions of a central bank, would make good a shortage of cash in the city by lending. At first, it lent directly to merchants, but when the discount market came into beginning, the responsibility for borrowing from the bank devolved upon the bill brokers. And we're going to find out more about the bill brokers right after this.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.swissgoldbythegram.com or click on our banner ad on the oraclebroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcast.
So as we found out about this open outcry pitch, you know, this Metcliffe or whatever it's called over in England, and they're going away from the open outcry pit, we find out how important the brokers are. Yesterday, our caller called in, talking a little bit, sharing with us his information, inside understanding of the treasury market. And, of course, everybody's trying to sell their higher-yield treasuries at a profit to somebody that, you know, wants them, I guess. I don't know how much profit there would be between 3.24% interest and 3.22, but I guess eventually, if you could get it to turn as many times as McDonald's can, why, you could, too, make 28% return on your investment. But it always goes back to the bill brokers, and with every buyer and with every seller, there's a commission made each time. It's the middlemen. It's all the dirty hands in between. It's all the people stepping on that opium trade anyway. as the bill brokers. Well, let's back up a little bit. At first, it lent directly to the merchants, but when the discount market came into being, the responsibility for borrowing from the bank devolved upon the bill brokers. And remember, it was these brokers who made a special study of the credit standing of the names appearing on the bills as drawers, acceptors, or endorsers. That's like your NSA databasing all of your banking transactions, and then providing the list to those who could prosper, you know, Google Ads and all of that. Anyway, as the bill brokers became responsible for the rediscounting business, they ceased to be mere brokers or intermediaries. In other words, like the lawyers, the bar, the Temple Bar, they started to rise in prominence. The existence of an active and liquid discount market enabled the banks to cut down their actual holdings of money to the bare minimum required for till money and clearing operations, and to lend to the bill brokers at short notice. Bye-bye, dollars and cents. And welcome to modern banking. Sometimes a week, but usually from day to day, you can go up and look at the London Interbank Overnight Rate, something like 0.0, very tiny low. The prime rate this morning at 3.25% for you and I, but the banks loan to each other at almost nothing, just kind of enough money to sweeten the deal, I guess. Fractional reserves. With these funds, the dealers were enabled to buy bills on their own account. So they're no longer just brokers. Now they turn into Goldman Sachs. It becomes investment bankers. By 1830, this had become the most characteristic business of the bill broker, and the present organization of the London money market had already emerged. The discount houses, still often called bill brokers, have thus acquired some of the characteristics of bankers, holding liquid investments against demand or short-term obligations. Of course, the Basel Committee over there was talking about more liquidity, capital and liquidity to ensure the solvency of the banks. Very important words there, by the way. In view of the narrow margins, always margins, margin calls, the CME just did that the other day, did it to us again. In view of the narrow margins on which they transact business, the discount houses are most sensitive to changes in the cash position of the market. Their gross profits are determined by the difference between the rate of interest paid to the money lending banks and the rate of discounts which they charge the sellers of the bills. Again, a window of understanding in the treasury markets and why people are flooding into the safe haven of U.S. treasuries. Bonded indebtedness, as if there was something in there besides smoke and mirrors. The rate of interest charged for day-to-day money is a sensitive rate, varying sometimes from hour to hour according to the state of the market. We might say today, with front-running and nanosecond trading and computer algorithms in the business, quantum trading is no longer hour to hour, no longer minute to minute. It's millisecond to millisecond. The rate of discount is likewise sensitive. Although the range of its variations is narrower because it relates to longer periods, a scarcity of cash among the banks is felt in the first instance not through an excess of bills offered for sale, but through a withdrawal of funds from the discount houses. Borrowing as they do on short notice, discount houses must be in a position to supply cash in whatever amounts may be demanded. And so we loaned trillions and trillions into existence and gave billions and billions to European banks so that they didn't become insolvent and bankrupt, as they should. The bank rate, quote unquote, the bank rate, fixed and announced by the Directorate of the Bank of England every week, is the minimum rate at which the bank is prepared to rediscount bills for the discount houses. The bank usually also grants them loans at a rate of 0.5% higher. Now, it's interesting when you study interest rates, you think, well, my goodness, you know, interest began so long ago. By now, it should be 150%. Well, no. It's the miracle of interest works no matter, you know, what time period you are in. No matter what the face value of your note or your currency or your dollar or your gold or your silver might be, that magic little interest bubble continues to work. You know, the rule of 72, sixes and twelves, you know, stuff's almost esoteric. Anyway, continuing, the bank rate is effective when the discount houses have to resort to borrowing from the Bank of England. or the Federal Reserve, sometimes, which they own, sometimes when the credit position requires restrictive measures, the directors of the bank put the market in the bank. They put, quote unquote now, they put the market in the bank, and don't they, in their pockets, in order to force the market rate of discount up to the bank rate. They create an artificial shortage of cash by offering government securities for sale or by letting bills run off without replacing them. I hate it when the bills run off by themselves, don't you? Anyway, they create an artificial shortage of cash by offering government securities for sale. Isn't that what Benjamin Shlom's doing right now? They've driven the Treasury down to almost nothing, 0.2% on a two-year yield. They're talking about getting into the longer yield stuff, though. They hate to see those bills running off by themselves. To forestall a falling off in their deposit balances with the Bank of London, banks recall their loans with discount houses, and the entire machinery is thus set in motion. Sure, and the Fed, and the Fed. How many people out there in Wall Street today, up on Liberty Street, marching up and down with their placards, they know the end result. They know what the synthesis is. Now, we know it's bad. We don't have to tell you it's bad. There's people marching in the street, right? Matrix, Mr. Beale. We know it's bad. I have to tell you it's bad. It's horrible out there. But again, you can champion end the Fed or audit the Fed. But if the people that are championing that can't wrap their minds around just what is the purpose of the bank, how does the bank work? How do the captains of finance and industry work in tandem with the governments today in an interdependent, interoperable, interconnected, global economy? And would ending the Federal Reserve alter that, or would it just impel or bring on the same sort of catastrophe on the United States, which the United States and NATO just visited on Libya? If the United States got out of the whoredom with the Bank of England and set itself up like Jackson, maybe Lincoln, that's questionable, tried to do, what kind of horror show would be visited upon us if we tried to step out of the global system? I don't know. Maybe there would be a New Guinea hotel made in our future. Continuing with the development of branch banking, the bill of exchange in internal trade was almost entirely superseded by loans and advances, as the practice of remittance by check grew, the occasion for the creation of domestic bills disappeared. A bank will lend a customer a specified sum for a specified period, or sometimes will grant him an overdraft, the right to overdraw his account as much as he needs from day to day within an agreed maximum limit. In the case of the loan, interest will be charged for the whole amount lent until its maturity, although a portion may be repaid before maturity by agreement in the case of overdraft. Well, it just gets more and more complex as you go into it. But as we understand it more, perhaps some out there in the listening audience today with more knowledge on these things than I will be able to advance a solution so that we, in tearing down one system, don't create a disease far worse than the one that we're trying to cure. How do we go from where we are today in a tyrannical and despotic mess to a time of greater and greater freedom? That's what we need, some real solutions made by some real thinkers looking at the 21st century, not the 18th. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you will be too. And until the next time, good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Micro plant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is Oracle Broadcasting.com.
The Oracle.